And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
On May 7th, 2023, 20.4 million people around the globe watched as King Charles III of Great Britain and the British Commonwealth was crowned in Westminster Abbey. The high point of that ceremony was as the Archbishop of Canterbury placed the massive St. Edward's crown upon the head of Charles and then stood back and proclaimed loudly, "God save the King." It was a moment that united people around the world, a moment that transcended political differences, royal intrigue, and palace drama. The King was crowned to rule and reign. It was a moment of convergence. There are such moments in all of our lives, not that we've become King of England, but moments in our lives when things just come together at one time and place. Duties, delights, desires suddenly in an instant become visibly together. Can you think of such moments in your own life? I think of our wedding day. I think of our children's baptism days. I think of high school and college and seminary graduation days. I think of my ordination day. Our Christian calendar lifts up such converging days, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost in particular, that lift up the high points of our faith. And Christ the King Sunday is such a day. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' incarnation in human form, a flesh of a little baby. The Holy God become a baby among us. At Easter, we celebrate Jesus Christ's victory over death in his resurrection. At Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And then on this Christ the King Sunday, we celebrate that when all is said and done, Jesus Christ rules and reigns over heaven and earth as our true and eternal King. You know, our windows in this sanctuary, unlike the chapel, which has pictures of the life of Christ, are void of much symbolism, save two: the cross at the very center, and at each point, the crown. The cross of Christ suffering for us, the crown of Christ's rule and reign over us. For a number of years, I sang with the Alabama Symphony Chorus under the baton of Dr. Philip Copeland, who for 16 years was our director of music ministries here, singing alongside Rick Atkerson and Jan Kimball and Susan Karsh. And one of the songs that we sang one year, not just a song, it was a two-hour work, it was J.S. Bach's Great B Minor Mass. For me, it was a convergent moment when everything just came together in this work. It was quite a workout for those 2 hours for choir and soloists and orchestra. It was a massive workout for J.S. Bach himself. It was his crowning work, his most difficult and complicated composition, called The Crowning Achievement of Sacred Music. The B Minor Mass is itself the converging of all of Bach's work. It brings together a number of his choruses and cantatas into this, woven in along with new choruses and arias. And all of it synthesized together to produce a unified whole so that the various complex parts fit together. Convergence. Now, being a mass, it follows the main movements of the historic Christian service, even as our service here moves through such movements: confessional, Kyrie, to exalted Gloria, the plaintive crucifixion, to the exalted resurrection, ending with a massive amen, which means so be it. And so it has this solid structure to which varied creativity is added. Now, musically and theologically, Bach's B minor mass has it all and brings it all together. Philip Copeland called it the most difficult beast ever to sing, and I would agree with that. Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday of the Christian calendar year. It's such a day when everything converges. Everything comes together. The day was only established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI in those chaotic times after World War I to respond to the growing secularism, disillusionment, rising nationalism, and atheism across Europe. The Pope wanted to remind Christians that Jesus Christ is the true King of heaven as opposed to earthly kings, those being at that time claimed by Benito Mussolini in Italy and later Germany and then across Europe by Adolf Hitler. Well, later many Protestant churches added this day to our calendar to emphasize our being under the rule and reign of our cosmic King Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we look forward and anticipate and prepare for that day when he will come to complete all things, to judge all things, you and me, the whole cosmos, and bring all under his rule and reign. Our lesson from Matthew 25 portrays what is called the Great Judgment before the enthroned Jesus as King. The camera pans back to embrace all the nations of the earth, all who have ever lived or ever will live. This parable is the high point in Matthew's gospel. It's the last teaching of Jesus before he enters into the events of his passion. Everything in the gospel points to this. Everything has been moving toward this dramatic parable. He has told several other parables leading to this in this section as he's teaching in the days before his passion in the Jerusalem temple courtyard area. And this is his last public utterance. Here, the great teacher gives his greatest teaching. We're familiar with famous last words, last addresses, statements where people just like Bach with his music attempt to summarize what they've been about. We think of George Washington's farewell address, warning of foreign entanglements, of President Dwight Eisenhower's final address as president, warning of what he said was the almost unstoppable military-industrial complex. And there was General Douglas MacArthur's farewell speech before a joint session of Congress after he had been relieved of his command in the Pacific by President Harry Truman. That speech, which MacArthur concluded those lines, "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." And a few years ago, we remember how Randy Pausch gave his famous final lecture at Carnegie Mellon University, which went viral. Something he gave before he himself died of pancreatic cancer. In his final lecture, he was telling these students crowded in this auditorium to hang on to their dreams and to enable the dreams of others. Well, such addresses are found many times in our Bible. There's Jacob on his deathbed blessing his sons and pronouncing the attributes of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's Moses on Mount Nebo, looking over to the promised land that he himself would never enter. In fact, the whole book of Deuteronomy is a part of that final address. Really, it was word of encouragement to the next generation. And then there are the final words of King David, reminding of God's everlasting covenant with him and his descendants, one who rules over the people justly. Ruling in the fear of God is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. In this parable, Jesus is portrayed as he really is and will come to be, the great victorious King seated upon his throne. Following these other parables, which sought to give some explanation to why the second coming has not yet occurred, and our need to be ready and to live in readiness until then. the parable of the servants who maintain the master's household faithfully, of the bridesmaids who are called to have their lamps lit and ready and their oil in their lamps, of the servants each given resources and told to invest in, and use wisely that which is entrusted to them. And now the coming that has been delayed, the final day, arrives with this parable. With this, history is complete. The Son of Man has come in great glory with his battalions of angels. Here's a scene of this heavenly throne room now brought down to earth. Life is over and judgment has come. The Son of Man is in the business of separating the sheep from the goats. And the basis upon which the separation takes place is how people have treated the least of these, who Jesus says are members of my family. The poor, the hungry, the sick, the stranger, the naked, the imprisoned. Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And those who respond with care and compassion, Jesus says, are welcomed as sheep. Not welcome because of their good works, but doing good works, reaching out because their faith has given them eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to the needs of the least and the lowest. Those who do not are called goats and cast into eternal flames. Perhaps the most amazing response is that of the sheep people who asked, well, Lord, when do we see you hungry or respond to you in these caring ways? And Jesus says, truly, I tell you, whenever you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Notice he includes in his family not simply people sitting in the pews, cleaned up, scrubbed up, pious, but poor, hungry, thirsty, prisoners, strangers. These who the community beyond would consider outcasts and aliens and unimportant, invisible, Jesus said, you did it to me when you did it to them. Jesus, our King, is giving us powerful instructions about what his church is to be doing in these in-between times as we wait for the final scene. You know, it's often said that our faith involves both our beliefs and our actions, our creeds and our deeds, not one without the other. And what I want to say today to all of us is that the church worships together and serves together. Worship and mission, they belong together. There's no separation, not I'll worship, I'll pray, you go serve, you feed the hungry, you visit the prisoner. Both and. Our faith is necessarily both and. One leads to the other, and which begins and leads to the other is varied in different circumstances. But the point is, God is counting on us. Sheep and goats, neither one of them really noble images, are they? Sheep, kind of dumb. Goats, not particularly appreciated. The goats get the bad guys seen here, but the sheep, the sheep are kind of clumsy and nearsighted and eating whatever's in front of them, and yet they're deemed worthy. The Old Testament reading refers to both shepherds and sheep. In that reading in Ezekiel, there are good and bad shepherds. Bad shepherds neglect their sheep. Good shepherds care for and provide for their sheep. We're to live as God's faithful sheep and shepherds, and the metaphors mix. Sometimes we're the shepherds caring for others. Sometimes we're sheep being provided for. And the sheep who, though simple and dumb, are yet called blessed. What I want you to grasp in this final parable of Jesus is the balance and the rhythm between worship and service. The Son of Man comes in glory. one of our hymns has this line, "The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now." Jesus, who lived among us, taught and healed, died on a Roman cross, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and now rules and reigns as our eternal Lord and Master and King. He alone is worthy of all worship, honor, praise, and glory. And he demands of us all worship of him as our King. And so we gather regularly today and each Lord's Day and other times to worship. But we don't leave it here. We depart to serve. The church that worships together serves together. Our worship includes in service. Because God loves us, we worship. Because God loves us, we serve. We reach out to those needy situations that come across our radar. We can't fix everything, but we can fix something and someone. Leaving the sanctuary, we enter into the mission field. For many years, a number of you went and took part in Constructes Para Christo, the building project that Diane Davis pioneered in down on the Mexican border, just across the border. And over 800 houses were built over that time of the Constructores ministry. And Diane, anytime a group was there and she was having an opening service with them, would always tell the story of the fellow that would walk along the beach and start throwing starfish that he'd see would wash ashore, throwing them back one by one into the ocean. And a cynical fellow came along and said, "Why are you doing that? You can't save all those starfish." Without saying a word, the person just bent down, took one, threw one back in, said, "Save that one." We do what we can along the way. What does the King expect of the sheep? What does the Lord expect of his people? He expects us, ordinary people, to undertake extraordinary actions, deeds of loving kindness and mercy. As one of our great mission hymns says, "With deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes." Maybe small deeds, one by one deeds, but heaped one upon another. Jesus expects us to be those who are helping to make right what is wrong in the world. And I see so many of you doing this in many, many ways. And many of you are doing it quietly and almost invisibly, but you're making a difference. In his book, Living with Your Dreams, David Seaman writes about a conversation he overheard between a young man and his coach as they were preparing for the state track meet. And this young man was going to do the high jump. And his coach kept pushing him to excel, to reach his capacity and then some. And he kept raising the bar that he was to jump over higher and higher, and finally raised it to record height. And he cleared this height, the young man would win the state record. And the boy said, "Coach, how do you think I can ever jump that high?" And the coach replied, "Son, just throw your heart over and the rest of you will follow." And that's what Jesus is asking of us. Throw your heart over, South Highland, and the rest of you will follow. We worship a great God, a God of miracles, a God of second chances, a God of new beginnings. And out of exalted worship, with hearts full of love, we go forth to serve. We give. We make a difference. We enter the mission field. God save the King. Long live the King. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.